The Bible says, it says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So some of the officials of King Nebuchadnezzar come and are telling on the Jews. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake, said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. So much word and so little time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to come and to worship and to magnify and to praise your name. We thank you, Lord God, for this privilege and this opportunity. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us this time to come and just give you glory and honor. We are asking this morning, hallelujah, this afternoon, Jesus, that you not only anoint the lips of clay, that everything that is preached would give you glory and honor, but we are asking that you anoint every heart, soul, mind, and understanding. Lord, touch every person here within the sound of my voice. You have brought them here because you have a word that you want to give them today. I ask that you remove any hindrance and stumbling block. Lord, anything that is going to come and try to steal the seed that is going to be planted. Encamp your angels around these buildings, around this church. Hallelujah. And God, we will ask you all of this in the name of Jesus. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask. And everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, and ask them, do you know the fourth man that is in your furnace? Do you know the fourth man that is in the furnace? You may be seated. in the presence of the Lord. Some years ago, headlines around the world reported the tragic news that 118 Russian crewmen had died when a series of explosions caused their submarine, the Kursk, to sink. As the story unfolded, it was discovered that 23 members of the crew survived for several hours after the explosions in an isolated, airtight chamber before they suffocated. One of the survivors was a 27-year-old lieutenant captain named Dmitry Kolesnikov. In his final hours, Dmitry realized that his death was near, so he wrote a note to his wife. In his dying moments, he wanted to express some things to his loved one. Now, like this young Russian lieutenant, when we know we are about to die, all of us have this instinctive desire to send a final message to our loved ones. The passengers of the hijacked airliners on 9/11 used their cell phones to share parting words with their families and close friends. Even the prisoners of the Nazis in one Warsaw ghetto, after seeing everybody else shot and starved to death, and knowing that they too were going to die, they took their last moments to write notes and store them in the crevices in the walls, hoping that someone other than the Nazis would find these notes and read them. Somebody say amen. If you were to face death and were given a chance to leave a note or make a final statement of some sort, what would you say? What message would you write? What would be the last words that you would write before you died? Now, believe it or not, in our scripture reading, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were actually given this last opportunity to express last words before they died. And the words that they declared, as written in Daniel chapter 3, reveal a powerful spiritual insight for the church to learn and to understand. Something so powerful that the devil, the enemy, tried very hard today for you not to come. In fact, he was able to stop some, but most are here. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 12 that the Chaldeans came to King Nebuchadnezzar and accused the Hebrews of not paying due regard to the king by worshiping the gold image that he had set up. When the king hears this, when the news are told to him that these Hebrew boys are not bowing down and worshiping this image that he had created, and he had passed a decree that they should worship it, and when he gets this news, in a fit of rage and anger, orders are given to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before him. And once the Hebrews were before the king, he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 14. He says, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Is it true that you are not following my orders?" Now, the answer given in verse 16 reveals a powerful spiritual truth that God wants his church, that God wants you and I to understand in order to survive the onslaught of wickedness coming these last days. The Bible says in verse 16 that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." At first glance, when you read this response, it doesn't make sense. we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What do you mean you are not careful? But when you read the original Hebrew, a powerful spiritual principle is revealed. The Hebrew word for careful is the word chesak, which means have need of. In other words, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. In fact, the New King James Version actually translates it this way. It says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Now, why would the Hebrew men respond this way? It even seems disrespectful. After all, the king is threatening them in verse 15 to cast them immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace if they do not worship the image. What would you do if the king is telling you, listen, if you don't worship this image, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. Some of us would probably say, Lord, I'm just going to bow down right now. Hallelujah. And then after he lets me go, I'm going to go and I'm going to repent. Lord, I'm doing that right now, but you know I'm not doing it with all my heart. I don't believe in it. I'm partaking on it, but you know that I don't believe in it. Oh, that makes it all right then. But why would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego respond, we have no need to answer thee in this matter? What prompted their powerful, this powerful response? We don't have to tell you, King Nebuchadnezzar, why we don't worship. We don't have to give you an answer. We don't have to explain to you why, hallelujah, we don't need to bow down before your gods. Hallelujah, even though we know that the scripture said, hallelujah, beginning with the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not worship any other gods except God. Hallelujah, Jehovah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And what prompted these men to respond that way? Hallelujah. To tell him, we don't have to tell you, King. Hallelujah. And what prompted this was the comment that King Nebuchadnezzar made in verse 15. The last part of that verse, hallelujah, verse 15, it says, Nebuchadnezzar is telling him, if you're ready and if you hear the music, the psaltery, the dulcimer, the music, fall down and worship the image which I have made. He says, and that's fine. But if you do not worship, you're going to be cast into the fiery furnace. Hallelujah. And this is what prompted that response, this last part, because Nebuchadnezzar looks at him and says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Hallelujah. That's like telling a preacher, hallelujah, preach to me about Jesus. Oh boy, hallelujah. You don't want to tell a preacher to preach because he's going to preach. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of the hands, out of my hands? Hallelujah. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar was soon to find out, like pharaohs of old, that the God of Israel, that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a God that was to be heard and obeyed. Somebody say amen. The three Hebrews responded that they needed not to give Nebuchadnezzar any answer because he was not their deliverer. Hallelujah. They did not make their defense to him because, hallelujah, he was not their savior. God was their deliverer. He had proven so in Egypt. He had proven that in Exodus. He had proven that in the Red Sea and in the wilderness and in the promised land. And since the God of the Jews was their deliverer, he alone was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace. Somebody say amen. In fact, they didn't even presume that he was going to do so because he is sovereign. But if God chose to do so, he would. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this confidence in God or in God's deliverance came from the promise to the captives of Babylon in Jeremiah 24. See, Jeremiah prophesied before the captivity of Babylon. Hallelujah. And in chapter 24 of Jeremiah, verses 4 to 7, God declared this. God said to the people of Israel, he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I regard as good as the captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, Hallelujah. For I am their Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me, hallelujah, with their whole heart. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not worried about what was going to happen to them. And they told them, listen, King, we don't have to tell you why we don't worship your God. We don't have to tell you why we don't worship your image. Hallelujah. If God decides to deliver us, he's going to deliver us. Why do we know that, and why do we believe that? Because he said in his word that even though we were going to be captives, hallelujah, he was going to bring us back, and he was going to build us up, and he was not going to overthrow us, and he was going to plant us and not pluck us up, and he was going to give us a heart, hallelujah. And it's ironic because, see, the reason that the Jews were in Babylon captives was because they have many idols and worship other religions, hallelujah. But now they're in Babylon, and now they understood, and now they says, we do not need to give you an answer why we don't worship your God, because you are not our deliverer. You are not our Savior. Hallelujah. Jehovah God is our Savior, and he is the one that is going to deliver us. Somebody say amen. You see, today the scriptures declare in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since Jesus doesn't change, he himself declared in Matthew 28:20, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And then in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. So then our response to the devil should be, devil, I have no need to answer thee in any matter. I don't have to tell you, Satan, hallelujah, why I don't serve you. I need not give you an explanation, because Jesus Christ is my deliverer. He is my Savior. He is the Ancient of Days. Jesus is the ruler of rulers, the Lord of lords, the host of hosts, the King of the universe, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. Somebody say amen. You know why we need to understand this? Because we need to tell sickness and infirmity, I have no need to answer you. Hallelujah. For Jesus Christ is my Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. Hallelujah. You need to tell depression. You need to tell anxiety. You need to tell despair, I have no need to answer you, because Jesus Christ is my Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. You need to tell problems. You need to tell trials. You need to tell tribulations, I have no need to answer you, because Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides during those times. Somebody say amen. You need to tell your hexes. You need to tell your curses. Hallelujah. I have no need to answer you, for Jesus Christ is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, the Lord my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Somebody say amen. And the problem is that you're answering to all these things that are befalling upon your life, and you're trying to figure out why and trying to figure out how to come out. And the Lord is telling you today, hallelujah, you don't need to answer them anything. If cancers come, if infirmities come, if sins come, hallelujah, if iniquity comes, you do not need to answer to them. Hallelujah. And you need to tell them, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies me. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord my righteousness. We are serving a Savior that is not struggling like you and I are struggling. We are serving a Savior that is unmoved and unchanged and undefeated and never undone. And the problem is that you've been answering everything and everybody, but the Lord is telling you, like he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the enemy comes and attacks your life, hallelujah, and knocks you down but not out, and gets you all scared and fearful, you need not answer them anything. I need not give you an answer, because you are nothing in my life. You're not my healer. You're not my deliverer. You're not my provider. I only answer to Jesus because he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for my sins. And he rose on the third day. And with his name and his blood and his spirit, he has changed me and transformed me and made a new creature. And a child of God I have become. Somebody say amen. And today you need to look at the devil in the eye and tell him, Satan, we have no need to answer you in any matter. We don't have to tell you squat. devil, because you're not my deliverer. You're not my savior. So get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And that's the problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told you were going to die. In fact, they were not only told they were going to die, they saw the men that took them to the edge were killed by the heat of the fire. But see, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not realize that God was going to deliver them when they were in the fire. They realized God was going to deliver them before they were thrown in. Because why did those soldiers get killed and not them? So that moment they understood. See, and the problem with human nature and the problem with some Christians, the world operates this way, and sometimes we get caught up in this, is that when things happen and the cares of the world come and they're trying to pull you away from the things of God, hallelujah, they require an answer. And you've got to look at those things and say, I have no need to tell you anything. It's kind of like, who are you going to vote for? It's none of your business. And that's the problem, that you're going through trials and tribulations. And you're running around like a headless chicken and you don't know what's going on, because it's just so many things. The Lord is telling you to stop dead in your tracks, hallelujah, and look at your problems, look at your trials, and look at your temptations, and look at your sins, and look at your iniquities, and look at the devil, and look at the enemy, and look at those people that are trying to sway you to sin, and look at all those things, even at cancers and at infirmities, hallelujah, that are constantly, that can't even let you go to sleep. I can't even sleep because I'm thinking about those things. Hallelujah. The Bible says that all of those things that are pure, all of those things that are of good report, all of those things that are holy, think on those things. Why are you thinking of all that other stuff? And God is telling you, hallelujah, that to tell them, when they're bombarding your mind and your heart, to tell them, I have no need to tell you anything. I don't have to tell you a thing, because you're not the one that died for me. You're not the one that gave your blood for me. You're not the one that filled me with your spirit. Hallelujah. So get thee behind me. Get out of here, cancer. Get out of here, depression. All those voices that you're hearing in your head. Hallelujah. Why are you even talking to them? People say, I saw, and I'm not making fun of these people, but it's the truth. I saw this bumper sticker that said, I hate being bipolar. Being bipolar, it's awesome. I'm glad Brother Isaac testified what he did, because some of you are worried, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What next? Have I not told you that when you're in high school, how many of you are in high school? Raise your hand. Thank the Lord. You're still in Disneyland. Your life is a fantasy land, and you can't wait for Tomorrowland. But once you get out there, it's going to be an adventure land. See, because when you're in high school, if you miss school, they'll call your house. Where are you? You know, and if you don't pass the test, oh, you know what? We'll give you. They never did that with us. You know, they never gave us another chance. If I flunked the test, I flunked the test. But now, you know, we're going to give you another chance, okay? See the answers right here? There you go, okay? All right, and they, come on, you know. Doesn't matter that you got all F's. We'll just pass you to the next grade level. You know, it doesn't matter. Just see, that's Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. But that's not reality. That's not life. And when you get out to life, life begins to beat you. And life is not a racist where we can claim privilege. Life hits you the same. Whether you're young, old, white, black, pretty or ugly, it hits you the same way. And it is our tendency, even Christians, hallelujah, to it rocks our world. What are we doing? Hallelujah. And that's because you're looking at all these things that are coming at you. But the Lord is saying, listen, hallelujah, you have no need to tell anybody anything that is coming against your life, because I'm the one that's going to take you to heaven. I'm the one that's going to heal you. I'm the one that's going to deliver you. Your girlfriend is not going to save you. Your boyfriend is not going to, hallelujah, deliver you. I'm the one that is going to take out those demons out of your life. I'm the one that's going to give healing to your body. I'm the one that's going to pick you up and turn you around and make something good and something beautiful out of your life. After everybody has discarded you, I'm the one that is going to go pick up the pieces and not give you new pieces, but make them own you again. Somebody say amen. I'm the one that has tattooed you in the palms of my hands, and I will never forget you. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were teaching us. Who is this God that is going to deliver you out of my hands? You don't need to tell you anything, Nebu. If it was me, I don't need to tell you anything. Well, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. Well, go ahead. If I was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I would say, King, yes, one last request before I die. Yeah. Can I have this guy and this guy and this guy take me to the edge and throw me? See, I would have picked the guys that I don't like. Because what happens when they walk me to the... They died. See? See, you guys... Come on, man. No wonder the devil's mopping the floor with you. That's my last request. And see, and if it's my last request, you know he's going to grant it, right? My last request. The furnace opens. All these three guys. After I saw that, I probably would have. Geronimo, you know. I would probably do the swan dive. We have no need. When you leave this place, you have no need to entertain anything that is attacking your life. Am I saying to ignore it? No, it's there. Am I saying that it doesn't hurt? No, it does hurt. But what I'm saying is that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. What I'm saying is that doesn't matter what comes your way. Hallelujah. You don't need to explain. You don't need to explain anything to Satan and to the devil. All you need to do is say like Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me. Slap your neighbor and tell him, you don't need to say anything. Now, you only use this against the enemy and against the attacks in your life. Don't use it against your wife, your husband, your mama, your daddy. Pastor said, I have no need to answer you anything. Pastor's also going to say they have my permission to slap you upside your head. Can we go in a little deeper? And this happened to me last night. And I'll explain it to you in a bit. Now watch this. Verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20 that King Nebuchadnezzar commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then in verses 22 and 23, the scriptures say that because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But in verse 24 and 25, God reveals the greatest revelation. Watch this. The Bible says, beginning with verse 24, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste And spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Didn't we just throw 3 guys in there? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answers and says, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the storm and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. As I was researching this, there's a whole bunch of debate amongst Christians about that last part. Is it like the Son of God or like the son of many gods? Who cares? That's not what the Lord is trying to teach us here. Because I don't know if you caught it, but watch this. According to these 2 verses, the one that saw the 4th man in the fiery furnace was King Nebuchadnezzar. This verse says that they're walking around, but it doesn't tell us, it does not say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the 4th man. Amen. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spake, saying to his counselors, did not we cast 3 bound into the mighty fire? And they answered, say, yes, king. Then Nebuchadnezzar declares, he says, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of Man, the Son of God. Hallelujah. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the ones that saw the 4th man in the fiery furnace with them, but it was the one who threw the man in the fiery furnace to begin with. Somebody say amen. It was the devil that threw the 3 men into the fiery furnace that saw the 4th man that was like the Son of God. In other words, hallelujah, it was him that saw it and nobody else, because he's the one that asked the question. What does that mean, Pastor? Watch this. God wants the church. Ready? Ready? You better be ready to text it, tweet it, Instagram it, Facebook it. What else? Snapchat? Tumblr it? All right. Watch this. God wants the church, you and I, to understand that it really doesn't matter. It does not matter if you don't see God in the fire that you are going through. Let me say it again. It doesn't really matter if you don't see God in the fire that you are going through. But what God wants us to know and understand is that what matters is that the devil sees God in the fire of what you're going through. The Lord is not interested, hallelujah, whether you see God working in your trial and your tribulation. God is not interested on whether you see God moving in the midst of your problems and your situations. What God wants us to understand is that he wants the devil to see God in the middle of our trials. He wants the devil to see God moving and walking around with us in the middle of the fire. Did you hear me? Let the devil see God in what you're going through. Let hell see God in what you're going through. Let the enemy see God right smack in the middle of every ugly, fearful, and horrific thing that you're going through. So stop asking for less heat in the furnace. Stop asking for an easier time, for a more pleasant experience, and a more secure life. We are being called to a deeper measure of service and devotion. And when the hard times come, and when the times of difficulty arrive, and when the winds of adversity blow upon your life, don't quit, don't give up, don't run, don't leave, but instead ask for the presence of the 4th man. Hallelujah. In the fiery furnace of your life, let the devil see that God's plan is to have you right where you are so he can use you. Because as soon as problems come, see ya. We want to run. And when you run, you're answering to everything the devil is doing to you. But the Lord is saying, listen, stop there. Some of you are going through a hard time right now. I don't know what it is. I just know that you are. And the Lord is saying, in that hard time, when the devil is throwing all this stuff at you, tell him, I have no need to tell you anything, Satan. And you begin to serve God, and you begin to worship God, and you begin to magnify. See, the problem is that you want to do all these things outside of the will of God. And God is saying, listen, I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to deliver you. I'm not going to do anything outside of the furnace. Because I want the devil to see me in the furnace with you. But the problem is that we want to see it too. But we walk by faith, not by sight. So when you're in the middle of the fire, see, because the fire feels like you're alone. The fire feels like nobody cares. The fire feels like nobody understands. The fire feels like you've been rejected. The fire feels lonely. But the Lord God wants you to grow up in judgment and discernment. The Lord wants you to mature in your ability to know when to speak and when to be silent. Jesus Christ wants to grow us, his church, in its ability to love the unlovable, to help the helpless, and to reassure the resentful. Somebody say amen. God wants you and I to stop praying for deliverance from the furnace and learn how to ask for the presence of God who meets people right in the middle of the fire. Hallelujah. Why don't you change your prayers right now, and instead of praying that God remove the fiery trial, ask him to meet you in the fiery furnace of your trial. God is ready to release your ministry and service with the community and around the world. God is ready to release your spiritual gifts and your divine talents and your heavenly treasures, but he wants to release all of that in the middle of the furnace. And that's the problem, that you've been asking God, remove this trial. The Lord is saying, I get more glory out of you in the trial than outside of it. And you don't have to see anything. All you have to do is trust me. I want the devil to see me in it. See, because the devil is not afraid of you. The devil is afraid of God. The devil is afraid of Jesus. And when he sees Jesus by your side, he can't touch you. And the Lord wants to do that because watch this. Watch this. Put verse 28 up there. Who's the one that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace? So he represents the devil. You represent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In a basketball team, you need to have a sixth man in order to have a strong team. Is that true? How many play in a team? Five. So why a sixth man, Brother Mario? Exactly. So if anybody gets hurt, this guy comes in and there's no change, right? So a good basketball team has a good sixth man. Well, in the spiritual kingdom, it's called the fourth man. And Nebuchadnezzar represents, is symbolic of Satan. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is symbolic of us. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. See, when Satan sees God as the fourth man in the middle of your furnace, Satan himself is going to say, blessed be the God of so-and-so who has sent his angel and delivered him from my hands. Satan himself will recognize that. Verse 29. What does the king do? He sends out a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. I worked in a federal prison for 8.5 years. And during those 8.5 years, I experienced some scary stuff. In the factory where I worked, we had stabbings, beatings. We had an escape attempt where these two inmates, lifers, smuggled in 9mm weapons and came out shooting, and they got killed. I went through a riot where about 800 inmates burned down a building and attacked other staff. And it was scary. But when I started working there, I made sure that all of the inmates that worked for me and around me and even staff knew that I was a Christian. And that I just wasn't a Christian because they were used to just Christians. I wanted them to know that I was God's favorite. And you should know that because it's a fact. And the inmates tested my faith. The staff tested my faith. And I remained steadfast throughout all those years. And towards the end of my career with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, there were several instances. There was this one instance, I had my office, and I had clerks that worked for me, and I used to have 3 computers. And in one of those computers, I used to play Christian music. In my office were the printers for the computers of the inmates, because we didn't let them have their own printers, otherwise they'd print whatever they want. So they would have to come to my office to get their print outs. And I started noticing towards the end of my career that the inmates would come and they would print like 20 pages. And they would come into the office and they'd be just standing there, just waiting for all the prints to come out. And at first I didn't think anything of it until I had 4 or 5 inmates waiting one right after the other. And I asked them, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm waiting after he's done, and you. Well, I'm waiting after he's done, and he's done, and you. Well, I'm waiting until after he's done, and he's done, and he's done, and he's done, and then it's mine. See, what they were doing is they were coming in here to hear my music. And then they would ask me on Monday mornings, every Monday morning, they would ask me, Mr. Hernandez, how was service last night? How was service Sunday morning? And I would tell them, man, we had a holy time, a Holy Ghost time. And I would tell them about it. And they would come and they would want to hear what I would tell them. And they would feel the presence of the Lord in that office. Well, one time, this new inmate comes, and he was very upset. He was new in the factory, and he comes in, and he's mad, madder than I don't know what. And he walks into the office, slams my door, and begins to cuss me out. And I stood up, and I told him, I said, hey, man, you need to step outside, leave, and when you come down, you need to come talk to me. And he wouldn't do it. And I'm trying to disarm the situation. I'm trying to deflect them and change. And he just wouldn't do it. And he just kept getting aggravated and aggravated. And I kept stepping back. And he kept stepping into my space. And I kept telling, I had a body alarm. And I says, man, I'm about to hit this body alarm. And when I hit this body alarm, staff is going to come here and they're going to take you down. And you blankety blank, blank, blank. The inmates run into the office. They grab him. I couldn't do that. But they grab him, and they push him outside, And they yell at him and they said, Mr. Hernandez is a pastor and he is a man of God. So you better back off. And I'm like, that's right. I'm like, that's right. Yeah. Tell him. I didn't do that. But see, even the Lord will use the enemy to defend you. Because the same man that threw them into the fiery furnace passes a decree that says every people, nation, and language which speaks anything against the God. He didn't say against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said anyone that speaks anything against the God of these Jews, hallelujah, of these Hebrew boys, he says anyone is going to be cut to pieces, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. What I'm telling you today is that everything that you're going through right now, every problem, every heartache, every situation in your mind that you just can't let go of, every attack, every dark, hallelujah, thing that is coming against you. First of all, you don't need to answer to any of that. You need to tell them, I don't need to say anything to you. Hallelujah. Cancer, I don't need to say anything to you. Depression, I don't need to say anything to you. Anxiety, the demons in my heart, I don't need to say anything to you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says that he will not leave me nor forsake me. And second of all, hallelujah, hallelujah, you got to look real closely and see that in my fire, Jesus Christ is right there and smack in the middle with me. Hallelujah. And if you want to increase the heat, Jesus is going to decrease the temperature. Somebody say amen. And once they see that, the same demons are going to tell other demons, don't waste your time going and attacking that Christian. Why? Because we can't get through. We've been after them for a year, for 2 years. We've been after them for 50 years. And every single time we keep running into this wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And don't go after their children, and don't go after their grandchildren, because they're all blessed. All of them serve God. All of them give God to God. All of them sacrifice to God. All of them are committed to God. All of them are dedicated to God. And you can't touch him. I haven't been able to touch his son and his daughters. I haven't been able to touch his grandkids. Hallelujah. Even after the day he died, I wasn't even able to touch, hallelujah, his spouse. Why? Because God passed a decree that said, hallelujah, if we touch them, we shall be cut to pieces. This is the kind of God that we serve. This is the kind of God, hallelujah, that has our back. Somebody say amen. I don't know what kind of furnace you are facing today. I don't even know what this means for you, but all I know is, hallelujah, who will meet you there in the furnace, and his name is Jesus. Somebody say amen.
As I conclude, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:2, fear not, though you pass through the flames, they will not burn you. They will not destroy you, saith the Lord of hosts. The devil has tried a lot of things in my life, and he hasn't been successful. The devil even came to me one time and said, I'm going to kill you, and there's nobody that can deliver you out of my hands. I said, Satan, I don't need to tell you anything. All I'm going to tell you is that God can deliver me. But if he chooses not to, praise God anyways. Because I'm going to serve him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. I believe that when the enemy attacks my life and my family's lives, I believe with all my heart that they don't see my strength. I believe that they don't see my spirituality, nor my knowledge of Scripture, nor the revelations that God gives me. I believe that what they see is Jesus Christ standing by my side. That's what I believe. And as long as Jesus is with me, who can stand against me?
So today, don't worry if you don't see God in your fiery furnace. Don't worry. Just pray that the devil sees God in your fiery furnace. Because when the devil sees God in your furnace, he will know that he is yours and you are his. And there's nothing that the devil can do to destroy your life.